You must forgive this rather unruly debate, Your Grace.
Nonsense, I find it entertaining.
This is the Extra Hick Great Podcast, episode 97 for Christmas Day 2020. I am Small Glass of Refreshment, David T. Cole, and I'm here with sizable dowry, Sarah D. Bunting.
I have no other value.
19th century gossip girl Tara Ariano.
XOXO, but the X has a tail on it. It looks like an F for some reason.
And Lady Pamela Ribbon Driven Linton Sean Bon of Shropshire.
Welcome to Extra Extra Hot Great. Merry Christmas to one and all, especially our Patreons who are the only ones hearing this because we do this only for you. And by this, I mean get drunk for a podcast. Dave, explain what we are doing and why.
This is a not a recreation, but about 10 years ago, me and Tara, the sequel to a New Year's Eve-ish episode where we drank a bottle of champagne between us while we recorded just general observations about things that are happening in our lives. And it went off the rails pretty quick.
Because we don't drink.
Because I don't drink. Tara doesn't drink. Although Tara didn't really get drunk on the first one, which I got angry about and angrier about as that podcast went on.
May still be.
We'll be slowly drinking our drinks. Some of us had to start before the podcast to make up. I just started right this moment. Mm-hmm. And we'll see where it goes. Otherwise, a normal episode of the podcast as far as structure goes with a small tweak here and there because of the timing.
Right. Right. So Dave and I are drinking mimosas with Prosecco. This is what we were advised to drink the first time when we were gifted this bottle of champagne, which is why we were drinking in that previous podcast. Yeah. It was a gift. Yep. And the Prosecco was on sale, which is why it's that instead of champagne. And it's mixed with orange juice to mask the terrible taste.
You asked me, Dave, what is Prosecco before today? I would have said it's a ham.
Yes. Fair enough.
Sure.
Our guest, Pamela Ribbon.
Pam.
Sup.
Pam, what are you drinking?
Prosecco hams. It's earlier for me than all y'all's. And so I went back and forth on what to do. And I think I've made a poor choice, but this is sake.
Wow. It's 12:10 where it. Pam is.
I had a breakfast taco and some sake. I'm just sticking with the K's because they're funnier. Just K things.
Yep. Everyone says that.
Sarah D. Bunting, what are you imbibing today?
Today, as on many days, I am drinking a bourbon Manhattan straight up with a twist in a glass that has Bea Arthur on it.
Love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We are here to talk about Bridgerton, which is the first show from the much touted Shonda Rhimes partnership with Netflix. It is based on a series, I believe, of novels by Julia Quinn. The premise is it's 1813. It's the start of the London social season. The two great families at the center of the story are the Featheringtons and the Bridgertons. They have a bunch of children between them to marry off. Daphne, the eldest of the Bridgerton daughters, immediately impresses Queen Charlotte as flawless. But her older brother Antony is so picky that he scares off all possible suitors. Meanwhile, Marina Thompson, the Featheringtons' visiting cousin, is being showered with attention across the street. And bitchy Lady Whistledown is documenting it all with full names in her scandalous Substack. Just kidding. It's not a Substack. It's the past. It's a scandal sheet. I won't say more than this, but people in the Ton, which is what society is called for some reasons, have secrets. So there's 8 episodes. They all dropped today. I don't think we all watched all of them. I watched 3. Let us go around the horn and do the Chen check-in. Yes, Dave.
As we go around the horn, because we forgot, everybody has to put in their bet on when Dave gets drunk.
Oh, yes, we did forget.
Oh.
We have to put in our bet on when Dave will be ungovernably drunk.
As you give your nutshell summation of Bridgerton, give your time in.
Right. At this time, it's 2:12 Central Time. Okay. Pam, as our guest, should, quickly, before we get into the nitty-gritty, should our listeners watch Bridgerton?
Well, do you like this sound? Do you like it when people punch every third word and then decide whether or not it's interesting? Then Bridgerton is for you.
Okay. Sounds like it was not for you, though.
Not exactly, but then by the end of the episode, I thought, fine.
Okay. Sarah.
I liked it, but there is an extremely high Pomeranian quotient per episode, so that won me over. There are butts. There are beautiful outfits. There is much wicked side eye. There are also many too short bangs that bring me back to a painful time in my life, but I plan to continue watching. I watch two. I'm going to keep going. But first, Pam, what is your over-under on ungovernable Dave?
I mean, is he ever? First of all.
No. Great ungovernable per grapes. Yeah.
We are 6 minutes into this podcast if you just want to give it time.
Yeah. Oh, you were already slurring your words.
So. Okay. This is a podcast. This is a possible. Here's where I think he was pre-ungovernable. I stand by a dollar.
Okay.
My admit is a dollar.
I think we already broke him. I'm going to go with 22 minutes in.
Okay.
I think that's I think that's maybe conservative. He's already laughing hysterically.
Yeah, I think 15 minutes we're going to lose him personally.
Okay, well, we'll talk fast.
But there's so much more show to go. And at the end, I have to run game time.
Andy has to run game time. Okay, I'll answer and then we'll throw it to Dave. I like this, and I will get into my reasons why. I thought it was interesting. I agree with Pam. There is a little bit of the but I think it does enough things that are surprising to make it worth checking out, especially if you were a Downton person. This might scratch some of that itch for you, Dave.
Yeah, you said that about Downton at the time, and I disagree. It doesn't really feel like Downton to me. It doesn't have the kind of more comedic looseness of Downton. Also, I'm regretting not boning up on my Margaret Thatcher from The Crown accent now that I hear Pam go off, because I would have liked to answered back.
This is a full Bridgerton.
Margaret Thatcher.
It's the trout mouth that goes with it that really sells it, in my opinion. But this is not a visual medium.
It looks great. It sounds great. I think if you like stories about girls who have to stand in front of men and get married, then, you know, why not? This seems like all the rest of those to me.
Okay. And when do you think you're going to be?
I seriously have had.
Oh, my God. He's had like this much.
Half a glass, baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Jesus.
Okay.
So I'm going to try real hard to keep it together until game time.
Oh, no. Trying is only going to make it worse. All right. So when we talked about Catherine the Great miniseries, the HBO miniseries a while ago, we discussed what a period drama has to do at this late stage of pop culture to surprise the audience, and how that one did not meet the challenge. And I feel like this one does. It sounds like Dave and Pam don't agree. What you don't want to do if you're Netflix is make a show like this that could also just be on Masterpiece. And here you've got a guy fucking a lady against a tree while his footman stands guard before the opening credits. So mission accomplished for me. Pam, it sounds like not for you. Discuss.
No, I mean, well, I also don't enjoy Baz Luhrmann and all. And so I think that, you know, when you're watching them do a dance to a string quartet's version of Thank You Next, you're like, like it's also clever. And that just, for me, I totally, like, if you like this sort of thing, it's doing it for you. It's hitting everything you like, the costumes and the, like, literally, like, close in on a bosom heaving at one point, just the bosom that is heaving, in case you were like, I'm missing that. It's there. Mm-hmm. But this is, like, you know, I wasn't a Downton person or a Scandal person or a Desperate Housewives person. And this sort of smooshes them all together into one dangerous concoction.
I don't actually know exactly why I like that. I mean, like, Pomeranian jokes aside, Dave is like looming into the frame of our Zoom call. Sorry.
Taking pictures.
He's at that part when you're drunk where you just look in the mirror and you go, is this what I look like?
Yeah, I was like, are we in the End of Time, Bandits? I really didn't think I made this that strong.
Did no one tell me about this nose? I have a nose?
Ew.
Oh, Dave.
Those pores look rather dreadful. I mean, I think Pam's right. This is for you or it isn't. I still am not sure why it was for me. But I also, Like, I think I went into it with relatively low expectations because I expected it not to be for me. And then there were like little moments, most of them anachronistic, that I enjoyed. And it was also like, I was like sitting in front of it, knitting a blanket. So it was very like on brand for a viewer of this. And yeah, I mean, it's, I don't think it's going to change anyone's world. I'm not going to like stop people on the street and tell them to watch it, but it's,
yeah,
it is good. It has little things it does well if this is your thing. And if it's not, you're fine to skip it.
Yeah. If I had a roommate who was like, I want to watch Bridgerton, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Let me get
You're
into
not going to like storm
clothes.
Out of the room.
No, right. No, not going to find other things to do.
Like for me, I think what it does well, and I agree with you about the anachronistic touches, like either that's going to bug you or you'll think that it's very witty. I sort of thought, bleh. But what I thought it did well was make the era feel contemporary. Dave's point with regard to like a woman standing in front of men trying to make them marry her, like, yes, but I think it also, what it did effectively was like explain what the stakes of that actually are, which is like, you know, the future of her family. Like, it's a big deal. And like the Greta Gerwig Little Women had that scene with Amy doing the same thing where it's like, it has to take the contemporary viewer back to that time and like explain or situate you to be like, here is how it actually is. Like, you can't think of it in 2020 or 2019 terms. You have to think about it how it was then. I think it did that well. But then, or at the end of, I think it was the first episode where we see Daphne getting taken out or put into her corset. And like, you see that there are like sores on her back, like scratches where it's like, damn, like it's actually kind of metal in that way. And late in later episodes, we see she gets a guy to like button her cuff. And it's like that moment in Age of Innocence with the glove, you know, where it's like, you know, very fucking Dave.
Is it too late?
How long has
it
been?
Is it too late for me to record?
It's been 7 minutes
that you can offer your patrons like a contest.
Whose idea was it to video again?
I dropped the whole thing, by the way. I'm just saying.
I guess I could go get another one. Oh, Dave looks like he doesn't want to laugh at a funeral. That's the other part that's great. Like, he keeps backing up, like, we won't see him.
So, Tara.
Yes.
We'll let these two do whatever they're going to do.
Sure.
Tara, how did you feel about some of the, what I said in my notes was feminisming in the script in the first couple of three episodes? I felt like it was a little heavy-handed and trying to wink at the audience, but I also felt like I didn't mind that for whatever reason when I've minded it elsewhere. How'd you feel about that?
I agree. I thought it was done with a light enough touch that I didn't think it was intrusive.
Yeah. Well, I thought there were a couple of good moments, like Lord, I keep calling him Bunyan, and I think he's not a lord, but that tiny-mouthed guy that, like, she's trying to get rid of, Daphne is trying to sort of get free of.
Burbrook.
They have this conversation, he and the Duke, where he's, like, explaining that he needs her, and it doesn't make him sympathetic, but I thought it was kind of a good entree. It should have been sooner. It should have been in episode one. But I thought it was a good entree into like the sort of business concerns of what marriage was until like early in the 20th century, basically. But then he immediately ruins it by being like, one does not negotiate with the horse when one is buying a horse. Like, okay, we get it. You're a pig. There were some instances that felt a little heavy-handed, but I think that in order for a like modern audience to engage with it, you need to do those things. Otherwise, it's just like pretty outfits and institutionalized misogynoir. So,
yeah, I agree.
Why do men have to ruin everything?
I don't know, but we kind of do.
What's with us?
All the war.
All of the war and this too.
Before we go on to the next segment, because it seems like we've got to run this one into the ground. Should I go and get another drink?
Oh, well.
Yes.
Sure.
All right.
I shall join you.
I liked it.
Don't get one for Dave.
It's time to go around the dial. First stop, Tara Ariano.
I don't know why I picked this show to talk about on an episode when Dave was going to be compromised, but let's talk about How To with John Wilson. This is a 6-episode quasi-docu-comedy series on HBO. When I read the description and I saw Nathan Fielder was one of the EPs, I immediately was like, it's not for me, and put it in that bucket and thought, I will never watch it. Even as critic friends, whose opinion that I really respect, were rhapsodizing about it. And I probably never would have watched it if not for our friend Winnie Molyneux, who is the wife of past and future guest Jeff Drake. We were texting. She said they had just started watching it. She loved it. So I pitched it to the notoriously finicky Dave. We watched the first one. We both liked it. But it is very hard to describe. Pam, would you agree?
Well, I mean, I guess when you, Nathan, for you, it's not too hard to describe. You have a back experience of that. Yeah.
John Wilson's persona is kind of reserved, socially awkward observer of human behavior. A lot of the show is his narration about the given topic. For instance, the first episode is how to make small talk over ironic film footage of unrelated yet related footage of New York street scenes. And his eye and the wit that he brings to pairing his narration reminds me of Dave's New York street photography, which, if you miss it since he quit Instagram, you can still find it at his site. Here's a plug, Glark.org. It is there.
Thanks.
Anyway, each episode starts with a very straightforward topic: how to cover your furniture, how to split the check, and then it goes in very weird, unexpected directions based on John Wilson's chance interactions with people, which never feel like they have been faked for the camera, which is often a problem with shows like this for me. And I admit I did not watch a ton of Nathan For You other than what we were made to watch for this podcast, but I was faintly put off by how it felt like it was punching down. This one does not feel like that to me. Wilson seems curious and open-hearted about his subjects, including ones that are very, 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 very strange. Very. I don't want to say more than that because I don't want to spoil it, but it's very funny and very moving in surprising ways. It's a different kind of show, but I feel the same way about it that I did about Lodge 49, which is, we're lucky to be living in an era of TV where something this special can exist. And like, I feel like John Wilson and Dud from that show are like on a weird spectrum somehow. Yeah,
they would get along.
I think they would. Yeah. Yeah.
They would meet at some weird food truck somewhere in the suburbs or something, not quite downtown. And they would just talk and then go somewhere together after that.
Maybe, or maybe go their separate ways and never meet again. And that would also be fine. So I brought this up to Catherine Van Arendonk, who interviewed John Wilson after the finale, and I'll link that in the show notes too. But she said she thought they were more different because John Wilson seems like extremely anxious, whereas Dud is like very easygoing. And I can see that too. Like, no one outside of California is like Dud. That's just a very California way of being in the world. But they just have the same kind of vibe. It's hard to describe. And it's hard to describe the show, but it's very worth watching. So if you were like us, you were like, I hated Nathan For You, I never want to see this, give it a shot. It's really surprising. You watched the first one and never came back? Is that what happened?
Well, I couldn't stop crying when it was over.
Oh!
I found it profoundly sad.
Yeah. It's moving. Yeah. It's surprising.
No. Well, it's moving, but it was like really bumming me out.
It moved you to a terrible place and you wanted to leave.
Absolutely. And we should say, like, it's 2020. It's a pandemic. I don't go anywhere or do anything. And so socially awkward. I even miss social awkwardness. So I did have a punching down sense of this because this reminds me a lot of when my kid makes videos and then does narration to what she just like put together in iMovie, where she's like, that's a cat. The cat's, remember shoes? And so it has that feeling of, oh, I edited this and now I'm going to write a voiceover to it. And I'm going to talk about emotion. And then I'll talk about how actually nothing matters because we're all dying. Credits. You know what I mean?
I can see that interpretation. It didn't strike me that way, but I can understand how it would strike people that way.
We're all having our own pandemic, Tara.
100%. That is true.
So mine gets that way where I'll watch something and then I'll be like, we're never getting out of here. And then I cry for a while.
Been there.
Alcohol is a depressant, which is what I learned this year.
So speaking of all having our own pandemics, as you know, if you follow me on Twitter, I've been collecting sassy magazines. And the whole time I was doing that, every time a batch would come, and sometimes they would be like 15 of them, I would go through them like Smeagol. And Dave would be like, what are you even collecting these for? And I would be like, to treasure them. What are you going to do with them? Nothing. I'm just going to love them. But then at a certain point, I had all of them but one. And when I had all of them but one, I thought, maybe we should do a podcast. And so I texted Pam and said, what if we did a sassy podcast? And Pam said, yes, let's do that. And so we are. So in 2021, time TBD, you will be able to listen to a podcast called Listen to Sassy, hosted by me and Pam, produced by Dave. Yay. And you can follow Listen to Sassy on Twitter and Instagram now for updates on that. And I guess now that we've publicized it, I will start putting up pictures and stuff so that people can engage with us in that way. The cat is a little bit out of the bag because I think once it was on Instagram, it started being suggested for people to follow. And so people have. But yeah, it's very exciting, Pam. I'm so excited.
It's baby's first podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'll be great.
I haven't had one. I'm the one.
Yeah, please start making them immediately so that they can be in my ear holes because I am super excited, possibly more excited than you guys. Definitely more excited than Dave. You will, Dave.
Wow.
Sorry.
God.
Pam, it's your turn. Go, Pam.
Okay.
Go for Pam.
Okay, so go for Pam. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Dave. This is not a show, but it's you can watch it on your TV. I don't know. Pandemic Pam. Watched We Are Little Zombies. I actually saw this, I think, at the top of this year. So that's what I almost said last year. But We Are Little Zombies, put out by Oscilloscope, is streamable. It is a Japanese film about four kids who meet at a crematorium on the day that all of their parents have died. And then I don't want to ruin it too much, but it's magical things happen. So if you like kind of punk rock Japanese Goonies that's not for kids, We Are Little Zombies is for you.
Wow.
It is really fun and colorful. It's set with a real video game aspect to it, to the narrative, and they also form a rock band. So if you liked Sing Street, We Are the Best.
I did like Sing Street.
And Hearts Beat Loud, like all the things about how music helps us. All four of these kids can't feel anything. And that's sort of what they understand when they meet. They have lost the ability to feel.
Wow.
The music is catchy, I warn you now.
Okay. And your plug?
My plug is, if you have not read My Boyfriend is a Bear or Slam, those are the comic books and graphic novels that I've made over the past couple of years. Everything else I'm working on now doesn't come out until, who knows, does it? Are there films every day? I feel like I'm in Lost and I just push a button and someone goes, that's fine. And you're like, I don't know if any of this is real. 2023 promises to be interesting. If it ever gets here.
But books are here now.
And also,
books are here now.
Pam was on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show this week as we record it with Jessica and Heather from Go Fug Yourself. And it was a really fun episode.
It was a delight.
Pam, I believe, probably ingested about 14 pixie sticks before we started.
Really missed a game night, you guys.
It sounded like you poured them into a coffee.
I was really happy to see people I love and then play games.
You can find that at our website, which is
usaquizshow.com.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sarah DeBunting.
Thanks, Tara. So speaking of games and things that Tara doesn't necessarily like, Weakest Link 2020. Don't ask how we landed on this, but Dan and I became, I don't want to say ensorcelled, but like really interested to watch more of it without commercials, and it's all on Hulu. The Weakest Link, of course, is this like, if you didn't watch the original.
I have a question.
Yes.
What does ensorcelled mean?
You wished.
Yes, it's like sorcerer. So I was right. It's like yes. Okay. All right.
Is that your only question?
They switched in sorcels halfway through the word, though. No. Oh, Dave.
Oh, no.
Dave,
don't break Dave. It's too soon.
He All right. So.
Dave, you are the weakest link.
I am in sorcerer only.
Goodbye.
I mean, I think I win. What did I say? 15 minutes? No, Pam said a dollar. Yeah. Pam wins.
I did say a dollar.
Pam wins.
Oh, God. So here's the thing that might have warned you away from The Weakest Link. Its host, unlike our own, can sometimes be a little much, but because she's trying to do an Anne Robinson, like, homage, I think, she's some of that, like, cutesy, shticky stuff is contained. So, and the structure of The Weakest Link game is, like, strong enough to revive Dave.
I admire that you two are unflappable.
From I'm listening. Hysterical fit. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a good game show. It's built well. The questions aren't that hard. There are spots where you can fast forward. The fact that it's on Hulu and there aren't a million commercial breaks is excellent. But I was telling Tara last night that my husband was like, why? Like, what is the deal with the show? I'm like, I just have extremely fond memories of, for some reason, being in a hotel room with Tara. And like, we saw the hip hop episode like 5 times in a single weekend, I think.
Yeah, I have no memory of that. But yeah, that sounds right.
On the hip hop episode from 2002, except one individual. So sorry, be real. My apologies. I did not recall your name. But yeah, so that was imprinted on me almost 20 years ago. The new version is fine. It's hard to screw up the show.
Yeah. It's a good format.
Not impossible, though. How hard is it to screw up this show? Let's find out. For my plug, another show, Quaid in Full, in which Jeb Lund and I are going through Dennis Quaid's entire CV, which is really long, and he's a maggot, so that's annoying, in chronological order. We've just gotten to 1990. It's a very long road. We hope that you'll join us, Quaid in Full Pod on Twitter, and Quaid in Full wherever you find podcasts. Just look for Dennis Quaid's goofy yearbook photo. Should I keep filling, Dave, or are you okay?
Well, fortunately, Dave picked a show that we both watched.
Well, all right. So for my
listen. He loves us, guys.
Well, Dave collects himself.
Let me do it.
Well, Dave collects himself. I'm going to give a shout out to my Twitter follower, Kylie, who was the one who turned us on to this show.
And this show is the New Zealand version.
Taskmaster.
We've talked about Taskmaster a lot on this podcast before, so you should know what it is. Usually when they take a show and they put some it doesn't work so good. But this one works.
Oh no.
It's a little different, but not a lot different.
How do you think it's different other than the host is different?
It's the host is different and the system is different. But it's just slight differences. Mm-hmm. But, they all talk in that adorable Kiwi accent.
They do.
Do you think New Zealanders think they are cute themselves when they hear, are they used to their accent, or they're like, we are adorable?
I think they probably think it's insulting when people say that. It is adorable, though.
Good one, Dave.
They probably take it in good humor because they're adorable.
They are.
Okay, so we wanted to talk about... There's one guy who's the worst contestant whose name is Skip. What's his name?
His name is Guy Williams.
Guy Williams. Don't name your kid Guy. Guy Williams is the... First of all, he's the brother of the assistant. And you shouldn't do that either, especially in your first season.
Well, they did say in the premiere, like, does this point up the lack of comedy talent in New Zealand or that it's a very small island? Which, you know what? Fair. Like, maybe it was hard to get that many
Perhaps.
People. The rest of the New Zealanders are in America and they can't leave because of COVID. Yeah. So
there's no ins and outs.
Exactly.
Right. There's also that guy who's bald, who isn't very funny, and seems like he might be dumb because he never reads the instructions correctly.
He does get a lot of stuff wrong.
Anyways, the guy, whose name's Guy, mm-hmm. he decided, like, in Taskmaster, because they film all your tasks over probably a couple months, they make you wear the same clothes every time you go to film so they can just mix and match and, you know, so they don't have to worry about continuity.
Right.
But Guy decides to wear flip-flops, like not just, not like good flip-flops, but just like I shower at the YMCA flip-flops, yeah. Like shitty flip-flops. And I think you really got to think about what you're wearing when you agree to do Taskmaster. And you have to make sure that what you wear is going to work for you. And you're going to have to run around. Yeah. You don't want to worry about flip-flops. It hasn't come to bite him in the ass yet, but I think it will.
Mm-hmm. The game night in heels principle.
That's okay. Right. Exactly.
Like wear a sensible shoe. Wear cargo pants or shorts so you got lots of pockets to put pocketable items mm-hmm. in your pockets. And then you're like a walking, talking convenience store of winnability.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's right. We just got this soberly when we were watching.
Anything else you'd like to add?
So you might say that they're from Winifornia.
Nice callback, Sarah.
Thank you.
Anything to add, Tara?
No, it's fun. I feel like the Taskmaster, his name is Jeremy Wells. He seems to be a radio guy who's like just been around for a long time. The last
he looks computer generated.
He does. He's very.
He looks like the Church of Bob guy.
Yes, he does.
Without the pipe.
The Church of the Subgenius guy.
Yes.
Yes, he does. He's very generically handsome, but a recent episode had a picture of him like from his, you know,
what it would have been his MTV DJ days if he was here.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. With like frosted tips, which was very funny. So it just seems like he's been a presenter in New Zealand for a while. Obviously, there are some references that, you know, go over our heads because we don't have the context for them. But in general, like because someone else asked, you know, how are you enjoying it? Like, does it work for people who are not from New Zealand? And I said, silly is silly. Like, and that's what most Taskmaster mostly is.
Excuse me.
So.
Oh, boy.
By the time you hear this, the last episode will have aired and we will have watched it. But at this point, we've only watched 9 of the 10. So it's a good addition. And you know, we only get 10 episodes of Taskmaster a season. So it's nice to have this brand extension. Also, I will say, as I said on Twitter, the British version, they're sitting in the studio and they're all like, because it's COVID, they're all like a million feet apart when they regroup. And in New Zealand, because it's New Zealand, they're all so close together and it feels like such a flex. And I say, flex on, New Zealand. You earned it. Good on you.
Seriously.
Now he has a cannon reservation.
Oh, God.
Dave.
Yeah.
I like how you figured it out that if you don't look at us, you won't be drunk.
Yeah, that's true. Making eye contact with Pam is a huge, huge mistake. I'm trying not to do it.
It's time for the cannon.
Tara is the horizon.
You didn't play the clip.
Wait. It's me.
Flux capacitor fluxing.
No.
For sure. Run for it, Marty.
All right.
I don't know, guys.
Welcome to
You really should have opened
2 days
with the cannon.
After this, he's still got to do game time, guys. Just reminding you.
Well,
of all
today's entry is by David T. Cole, who happens to be me. Today, I'm presenting Peep Show Series 3, Episode 3, Truman. I thought. When I was looking for something to do that would find something that involves people getting drunk or high. And so I thought, oh yeah, shrooming. But in fact, nobody actually gets drunk or high in this one. That's the whole point of this episode. Nobody gets drunk or high. So what is it? It's a British comedy starring Robert Webb and David Mitchell as a couple of, as like an odd couple flatmate situation. Jeremy or Jez and Mark. And among its creators is Jesse Armstrong, who you may know created Succession with the music that drives you insane.
It's true, it does.
The whole show is shot in a first-person point of view and features running inner monologues for the main characters. That's what the show is. So why am I presenting for the canon, you ask? Dave, why are you presenting this for canon? Well, the reasons are we could get multitude of reasons. One, never stops moving. The show is a... two, using the internal monologue and camera point of view to good effect It feels natural on the show. It's great. Yeah. And it is, in fact, an incredibly mean-spirited show that cuts the edge with its absurdity and weird, like, relatability in the situations that they find themselves in. And, of course, it's just really funny. So let's get into shrooming. Let's illustrate these points. And shrooming.
And shrooming.
Nice.
All right. Jeremy wants to hold a magic mushroom party for Big Sue's super hands and his lady friend. Mark, however, who is David Mitchell, is sick. He's returning home from work with what he calls funny tummy and weird ears, as we'll hear in clip one.
Oh, feel awful. Still, made excellent time. Great bus driver. Same old route, though. I should probably alter it occasionally. Evade kidnappers. Not much of a risk, but I'd feel such an ass if it did happen.
This inner monologue is me. I have these weird connective fantasies about these kind of things. Like, this is going to lead to this. And it's never like, and then the boy nobody loved won the Super Bowl. It's all like, well, if he didn't know that weird fact about ostriches, these terrorists would have killed you. Way to go, Dave. You beat the system. That kind of stuff. And so I feel like me and Mark, we got thing going on. All right. So this sets up the conflict of the episode. Mark is going to bring down this magic mushroom party he doesn't know about yet, and Jeremy wants him out of the picture. Back to the episode. Mark just wants to climb into his bed because he's sick. Like so many of us when we're sick, we just want to climb into our bed. But that bed, in fact, his bed, is currently occupied.
Jeremy! How did you allow this?
What? I didn't know.
Didn't know what?
Nothing. What? I don't know. Is there a problem?
You let Superhands use my bed for filth.
Oh, no. They didn't go in there, did they? Oh, that really is too much. Oh, I'm annoyed now. I'm so annoyed with them. That is too much.
So he kicks him out, kicks Superhands and his lady friend out of the bedroom, and then Superhands escapes into the water closet, and because he feels like he's locked in because he got to jiggle the handle or something, he kicks the door open trying to get out because he's all gone all squirrely. Meanwhile, Mark installs a lock on the outside of his bedroom so he can keep people out of his bedroom when he's not there. And Jeremy attempts to install a short-term solution to the bathroom without a door, which is stapling a bedsheet to the doorframe. But, like, the bedsheet only goes, like, 3/2 of the way down, and everybody can see into it.
Look, Jeremy, I know for you, doing your business in public is probably some sort of dream come true, but I can't live like that. You need to sort this out.
But, Mark, I'll never get round to it. It's yellow pages. I won't use the right words. They'll realise I'm not proper. I'll get some cowboy and end up on ITV2. Look, please, before you go to Frankfurt...
I'm not going to Frankfurt. He's never going to do it. Where am I going to poo? Can't go to Sophie. She's in Bristol. I'll have to go to the pub. They'll start to think I'm a junkie. I could offer them 50p a poo. Too weird. No, buy a pint each time. Just become an alcoholic.
I also have these conversations with myself. Not about drinking at pubs, because we all know I don't drink, except for on this podcast, once every 10 years. Worrying about things people don't know about me and would never care about me fills about 1/3 of my day. So me and Mark, we're very much the same person. Soon after, the carpenter pauses the job that he's on to see his therapist, and an exasperated Mark is cared for by a clueless Jeremy and a bowl of root chips. And a fantastic delivery by Mr. Robert Webb.
Mark, shush, stop, relax. It's okay, it's fine. You're recuperating. Have some lunch. 3 different flavors, all mixed up. Mmm, exciting. And then after that, beans.
Beans.
All right, now when a coworker drops out of a business trip to Germany, Mark decides it's too good of an opportunity to miss out on, sick or not.
Tell him I'm coming in.
Alan, he's coming in. You da man!
I'm a man!
It's you da man.
Whatever, Jeremy, let's not quibble. I'm a man.
All right, so back at the flat, Jeremy is overthinking everything about his relationship with the carpenter.
He probably thinks I'm a slacker. To him, it probably looks like I've done literally nothing since lunch. Well, the washing up isn't nothing, mate, and I'm going to be doing that any bloody minute. God, look at me talking to a builder like we're both on the same level.
People are so quick to judge, you know. They go, look at him, he's having a look at his life, he must be some sort of nutter. Me, I'm like, fuck off, fuck right off.
Yeah, fuck off, you idiots.
Shit, we're so angry together. The righteous indignation of the common man. Maybe we can start a union, the Woodworkers and General Persons Union.
And then Jeremy continues, and he wonders where this relationship will all lead to in the end.
Maybe we'll become best mates and he'll train me up to be a carpenter like Jesus. And if I get crucified, he'll start a religion in my name. Jeremism. I'm a Jeremist. Nice.
Adding to Jeremy's trouble, the carpenter is... Wait a sec, did I miss something? Yeah, I did. When the flight is canceled, Mark, who is at his office, heads back home, once again throwing a wrench into Jeremy's plans. Where do you think you're going, Tara? Where are you going? Letting the dog in. That's not part of the show. Tara doesn't let the dog in on Peep Show. That's something that's happening now. Adding to Jeremy's troubles, the carpenter is leaving again, this time for the night because his wife is being a pill or something. Jeremy is worried about the vibes the open toilet will produce at the party and eventually works up the gumption to confront the handyman.
It might be best if you finish it tonight.
No, pal, I've got to get over to you.
It's just Mark, my mate. He's a bit of a carrot up the old arse about this kind of thing. And he says...
I don't mind. Fine by me.
Well, anyway, look, I really need it done by tonight, okay?
I'm off, pal.
Look, you've got to just do it now, okay? It's your job. I'm ordering you to do it. I'm the boss, you're the worker.
Oh, yeah. That's the way it is it, yeah? Well, you can fuck off, pal. You can fuck right off!
Please don't hit me. Good, he hasn't hit me. Maybe I should hit him. Oh, no, he's gone.
So Jeremy moves to plan B. He's going to spike Mark's cup of Neocitrin, which, adorably, in the UK is called Lemsip.
We should say Americans don't know what Neocitrin is either.
I looked it up. They do have it here.
Do they?
Maybe not everywhere, but it does exist in the States.
It's a hot, lemony placebo drink.
It's like you feel Theraflu, I think, or something like that.
Theraflu.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Here in the States, America, to which we are now citizens.
Yes, we are now both natural.
Hooray! Hot dogs. All right. okay, so he is, he spikes Mark's cup of Lipsim in the, with NyQuil. Which, my favorite fact I discovered while researching everything British during this episode, NyQuil in the UK is called Night Nurse. That's adorable. I need a cup of Night Nurse.
Call NyQuil that from now on.
Absolutely. Why isn't it called that here in America? Anyways, Jeremy is doing all that, as we hear in this clip.
Am I going to do this? I've got an evil plan. I'm like a Bond villain or a young Richard Branson. I'm sort of poisoning my flatmate. Is that okay? Doesn't sound great. Why did you poison your flatmate? So I could have a party. But I'm only poisoning him a tiny, tiny bit. It's really a white poisoning, a friendly poisoning. It's just so much more civilized than bonking him on the head with a hammer.
I think a white poisoning is when I got a call taking NyQuil from now on. Time for my white poisoning. So with Mark zonked out, the party finally starts. Jeremy decides to lock Mark, for his own good, inside his room, using the lock that he himself installed. Mark, however, does wake up kind of earlier than Jeremy thought and starts yelling at Jeremy through the locked door, giving us the following scene featuring a greasy paper takeout bag slid under the door.
Let me out! I need a poo!
Do your business in there if you have to. God, you're disgusting.
Oh, God. Can I do this? If I do this, even if I end up marrying Sophie and we live in a detached house in Surrey and buy a holiday home in Umbria, our children will always look up at the face of a man who once crapped in a takeaway bag. Plus, I'd have to hide it here, somewhere in my room next to one of my things. I could throw it out the window. No, that's what they want you to do. That's where society's headed. People shitting in bags and throwing them out the window at each other. Well, I'm not going to be the first. Not in my name.
So as the episode draws to a close, all these things quickly happen. Big Suze, who is Jeremy's crush, agrees to take a bath with Jeremy because she's high on shrooms. Mark's boss, having been called by Mark, barges into the flat and frees him. And Mark really still has to do that poo in the doorless water closet.
Oh, thank you, Alan. Thank you.
That's for you, Jeremy, you bloody shit! Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Alan.
Where's the door? Are you all right, Mark?
Yep, fine. Great, just the door fell out and we haven't, so I need to...
Is that normal pooing you're doing?
Yep, oh yeah.
Doesn't sound normal, Mark. Doesn't smell normal.
It is, honestly.
This is bollocks, Mark. You know the credo, illness equals weakness. You're off the team.
Please, Alan.
Where's the fire?
No, but...
So Alan the boss is like deadpan delivery there with just like a hint of like corralled disgust is really just is great. So the vibe for the party is ruined and everyone takes a turn watching Mark doing his loud, non-normal pooing in a bathroom without a door. And in turn, everybody leaves. So the point of view camera getting closer and closer to them both as Mark and Jeremy finally talk it out. Mark, he's all white and he's sweaty. He really sells how hopeless and defeated he is. Clip 13.
Hang on, love. Why up?
You had to do it, didn't you? You just couldn't let me be happy. You had to go cry to Daddy just as soon as I locked you in your room for one single minute. You just can't take a joke, can you?
Jeremy, for God's sake.
So this is my big evening, is it? Me, tripping my nuts off, watching you do endless pooing. If I were you, I'd think about what you've done. Just have a long, hard think about what you've done.
And that's the episode, Shrooming. So on paper, it's a story about a very selfish man who poisons and imprisons his friend just so he can get high with his better friends. Is really mean-spirited, but after you cut out with the inner monologues, giving glimpses into their meek, yet often relatable lives, which is bolstered by the POV camera work, which feels, to me at least, natural to the environment, you end up softening the edges here in the best way. On top of that, Mitchell and Webb are great together as Mark and Jeremy, with a comedic timing and lack of egos to share the horrible spotlight that comes from years of working together in TV and radio. And it's funny. It's funny. Defensive bus hostages, fantasies, and new religions, beans. And plus a defeated man having sad poos in the bathroom of the door. This episode has it all. And here conclude my argument for Shrooming. From
right.
The Peep Show. Who's going to go first here?
Pam, you're our guest. Why don't you start?
Pam, you start.
Beans! Thanks, Dave. I'm sorry. Because a night nurse is what you hire at night for your night nanny. I think right. That's why maybe we have Theraflu. Mm-hmm. I've just been waiting right. to answer that for you, Dave. I think it's, I am a Mitchell and Webb look person more than a Peep Show person.
Oh, I forgot to say, the reason that we actually watched Peep Show in the first place is because way, way back, Pam's husband gave us the worst description of a comedy skit I have ever heard. It was like, it's got this petrol, but it's not petrol. And they take it and they're talking about it as petrol. And he went on for like 10 minutes explaining the joke. And it was so not funny when he said it. But then we watched it was pretty funny.
He sounded
funny.
Like a drunk Dave. It was drunk Dave explaining petrol or cheese. There's sure no difference in what you just did and what he did in the backseat of a car in Iceland.
Sorry but for the tangent, please.
We love
continue.
Him. Hey, Jason.
It's fine. It's brought us to here. And the, yes, so, but I do remember seeing this one before and enjoying it. And it has everything that I find uncomfortable about Peep Show. And then once he's got a gross-ass bag of crisps that he's not going to shit in and throw out the window, I'm 100% in love with the rest of this episode. Like, I love it. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's how could you not? It's so smart and fun. And Jeremy, like, just the whole final speech. It's so good.
It's very Jeremy.
Yes.
Sarah.
I don't appreciate having to brace for vomiting throughout this entire episode, but once it didn't show up, I was on board. Jeremy's running monologue is like so narcissistically ridiculous. I loved it. I've got a bongo I'm a Jeremist. When he's like, I forget what he's even talking about, but there's some video that that Mark has to watch. And he's like, well, it's not the interest rates and grisly murders you're into. And I was like, is Dave subtweeting me with the sign of dialogue? It's possible. I don't care. It was funny. And then also the running thing. It's like, well, it's not like I'm going to rape him. I could rape him. Longer pause. I'm not going to rape him. Like, aren't you? I'm concerned. This was like everything about even the pooping, which is like the grisly kind of pooping, but it was like the sound design is flawless. And then fucking Holy Wayne shows up as his boss.
Yes.
This was, I'm not going to say delightful, but Big Suze's rendition of that moment in Shrooming, not that I would know. I would know.
This is behind a paywall. The cops just can't hear it.
Yeah. You just want to hold as still as possible so you don't boot and waste your investment in the shrooms. That was really well done. They clearly have firsthand experience there. Good submission, Dave. Especially under the circumstances.
Yeah.
A lot of prep, I'm going to guess. A lot of prep there. We must say before we get letters that we now know Robert Webb is a transphobe and we renounce him.
Really?
Sadly, he is.
I don't know that.
Oh, yes. No.
Sadly. However, Olivia Colman, who is also a star of the show, has come out and she is pro-trans. So they cancel each other out and, you know, there will probably never be a reunion of the show for that reason. But, you know, we love her. So whatever. Poo to you, Robert Webb. But anyway, speaking of poo, this episode, Mark's boringness, such a great runner in the show. And like, you know, you can't really watch this and be like, are you a Rob? Are you a Mark or a Jez? Because everyone is really a Mark. Ultimately, if you're a Jez, you don't have friends probably. But the line that Dave clipped where it's like, I should bury my root home to ward off kidnappers. Like, who would want to kidnap Mark? It's so absurd. But his distress and like, you know, David Mitchell really commits to making his agony through the entire episode, especially when he goes back to work, so palpable. I mean, we've all been there trying to hold your shit together, literally, when you're that sick. It's awful. And the makeup job they do on him is good.
He's like trying to nap on his hand. Like, yeah. Maybe I can get a couple of winks. Yes. Sounds great. Oh, yeah. Poor guy.
It's brutal. So once we see all of the elements of the episode, Mark's gastric distress, the broken bathroom door, the padlock that Mark puts on the outside of the door, we know all of them are going to pay off later. It's and how?
Chekhov's like, padlock.
Exactly. Oh, it's God. Not, there's no suspense in it, but it doesn't matter. It's the journey. That
what a literary there. Pull for man. So inebriated. Good
it's
job.
Still worth taking that journey for the sake of that absolutely gutting payoff and the Foley work on the poo sounds.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Top notch. Yeah. Really evocative and horrifying. Excellent choice for this episode. I don't think we've had a peep show in.
Really?
We have in Mark 1, but I don't think we have in Mark 2. So, okay. So great choice.
I well feel like presented. We did, but maybe not.
Perhaps you're right. Oh.
You Dave needs
right.
a refill. Oh,
he does. I will get. We can pause after this, and I will go and get him.
Well, but before we pause, we got a vote.
We do.
So let's put this to the official vote. Pamela Ribbon, what say you? Canon worthy or not canon worthy?
Sure, I'm a guest.
Sarah D. Bunting.
Get the vote.
You vote however you want, Pam.
I'm doing the nice vote for my host.
Shitty flip flop, Dave Cole.
Sarah D. Bunting, speak your mind.
That's a yes for me.
Tara Ariano.
Me as well.
All right. Whoops. Whoops. Hey! The Peep Show, which is actually just called Peep Show, Series 3, Episode 3, Shrooming. You are hereby inducted into the extra. Get him!
Americans love a winner.
Yup.
And will not tolerate a loser.
No. Nope.
It's time for winner loser of the week. I have the winner. And the winners, apparently, although maybe not winners, I would call them losers, are Tara, Sarah, and Pam, who don't seem to be drunk at all.
Pam seems a little drunk.
Nah, she just seems happy to be here.
That's true.
Sarah just seems like she always does.
Who's our loser of the week?
You.
Well, Dave, I can't. I think you're a winner.
Do you want me to go and get you another drink?
Yeah.
Before we do?
Let's do it. We're not even stopping the recording.
Okay, so Tara is the loser of the week.
It's baseball talk. Wait, what's the thing? Inside baseball.
Inside baseball.
Inside the baseball.
That's what
we're
gonna
do. Where the golf ball is.
Oh, shit.
I'm sweating so much.
I was about to make an untoward reference, and then I remember that this is all being recorded, and I probably shouldn't do that.
In the criminal justice system, there are two people, the towards and the untowards. These are the stories.
Oh, no. Oh, God, game time.
Oh, Dave.
Oh, game time is going to be great.
It's going to be so great. Good.
It's always great.
It's going to be great.
Going to be great.
I am really annoyed that Tara is apparently not drunk at all.
Again. That's what happened last time. I got really
drunk.
And she drilled a hole in her chin so it would dribble out onto her shirt so she wouldn't get drunk.
Oh, boy. Prosecco conspiracy theories.
Be swell.
This is why they outlawed that shit.
You'll be great. Gonna have the whole world on a plate. Starting here, starting now.
Oh my God.
Thanks, God.
No more watching Airplane for you.
Roses.
Everything's coming up, Dave. Cool. You're saying you can tell I'm drunk. I'm sick in front of people.
Full disclosure, Gordon Lightfoot and Anne Murray are in the room with us. So if you hear a little shaky shakes, that's what that's all about. Tara is sitting down, headphones on. The episode is continuing. What was the last thing someone said?
I believe it's game time.
Speaking of what's the last thing someone said, do you know what time it is?
Yeah. Do you know what?
Oh.
Yeah. Game time.
It's game time. I've read those lyrics years ago.
Welcome. This is the first and only game time of the extra hick season.
Oh, wait. Wasn't there supposed to be something else? Is this worse than what? Jazz?
No, that's after. That's after.
Okay.
Spoiler. Are you drunk? Do you not know the order of operations?
This wasn't in the doc. Be fair. It?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Dave.
I'm sorry. All right. This is the first and only game time of the extra hick season, he says again. Today we are playing TV songbook. Songbook. From a suggestion from Nope. That's her name. Nope.
Love that name.
Part of the at EHG assist team. I was like, what's a good show to play while people that are drunk? And then she said, what about this? And I thought, that's a good idea. And then I was like, what about her idea? But then let's make it way more complicated than it should be at this point in the game where I'm drunk. And that's where we're at. In a moment, I will present our panel with a karaoke songbook of classic TV themes. In turn, they will pick one to perform for us. I will give them up to 5 stars for their performance, which will be judged on the following criteria.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Singing. Accuracy of lyrics. Ability to recover from mistakes. Wow, that was unintentionally illustrative.
3 stars to you on that one.
Yeah. Seems high.
Joy. Joy.
Joy. Okay.
And lack of dead space. And maybe some other things I haven't thought of. But, you know, what I want is gusto. Guys, what I want is I want to see the gusto. Depending on the song, other contestants may be called in to be part of the arrangement.
Okay.
And bonus points will be awarded for these tasks at the end of the game.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes.
All right. I got to send something through Zoom as an attachment for everybody so they can see the songbook we're talking about. Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself.
Okay. Gulp, 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 gulp.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's throw it to Picky to see
We will start with Tara.
Our order today is Tara, then Pam, then Sarah. Are we ready to play TV songbook?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to start off with songs. So each of you gets to pick your own songs. There are more songs than we will use. There's like 24 songs. We're only going to do about 18 of them or so. So Tara, you get to pick first by number. What song do you want?
22.
Yeah. Nice.
Number 22 is the theme to Alice. Sarah and Pam, I want you to come in on the big line in the middle. Here we go.
Got it.
Okay.
Early to bed. Early to bed. And in between, I cooked and cleaned and
out of my head.
Louder.
Going through life with blinders on. It's time to see. Had to get out from under and look for me.
There's a new girl in town and she's looking good.
There's a bright colored face in the neighborhood. There's a new girl in town with a brand new style. She was just passing through. She's gonna stay a while.
Wow, what a start. Rocky start for Tara in that first one, but man, did she close it. I award you 3 stars.
Hey!
Woo-hoo. All right, Pam, nice. By number, what do you want to do?
Okay. Here's the problem. I'm doing last minute changes, but I think I'm going to stick with 10.
All right, Pam, you have chosen The Facts of Life.
Good choice.
Very good
Pam,
choice.
Pam, you Thank get you. To pick somebody who is going to back you on the oohs, and then everybody at the end is going to come with you on learning the facts of life. Who's going to be your ooh girl?
It's Bunting's going to be my ooh girl.
Oh, yeah. I'm
All right,
girl.
Here we go. Facts of Life. Take it away, Pam.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them all, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life. There's a tag you gotta grow, show, you know, and now you know about the facts of life. The facts of life. When the world never sees that you're living up to your dreams, and suddenly you find it out, the facts of life are all about you. You. It takes a lot to get on right when you're learning the facts of life. Learning the facts of life. Learning the facts of life.
Wow. I'm going to give that one 4 stars.
Nice.
Wow. Nice. That was strong from start to finish.
Gorgeous.
All right, Sarah D. Bunting, what is your first choice for TV songbook?
Well,
my number.
I know what number everyone would like me to pick, but we'll see if it's still on the board later. I'm going to go with number 1.
Hey!
Number 1.
Good choice.
All right. Sarah D. Bunting, number 1, their first song, well picked. It's the Brady Bunch. Pam, you have been chosen to be the horns that come in at the end. And Tara and Pam, you will chime in on the Until One Day line just to give it a little more oomph. Here we go. It's the Brady Bunch.
Here's the story. A lovely lady.
Louder.
Who was bringing up 3 very lovely girls.
Yeah, let yourself go.
All
Feel
of
the rhythm.
Them had hair of gold like their mother. The youngest one
in curls. Let's go.
It's the story of a man named Brady who was busy with 3 boys of his own. They were 4 men living all together, yet they were all alone. Here,
till the one day when the lady met this fellow,
and they knew that it was much more than hunch, that this group must somehow form a family. That's the way we all became the Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch. the Brady Bunch. That's the way we became the Baritone Bunch.
That was good.
Sarah, I felt like you needed some prodding at the start of that to really get that volume up. I'm going to give you 3.5 stars for that one.
Nice. That's fair.
About 15 more stars than I deserve, and I thank you very much.
All right, back to our second selection, starting with Tara by number. What song do you want to go with next?
Got to go number two.
Number two. Tara Ariana, you have selected Cheers. Towards the end of the song, I want Pam and Sarah to accompany you on the ha-ha's towards the end.
Sorry in advance, everybody.
Here we go. It's Cheers for Tara.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Making a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Would you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see, troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. You wanna go where people know people are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Well, Ty, you're near the lyrics, but I feel you're holding back a bit on the song, so I'm going to give you 3.5. It wasn't as boisterous as I thought it could be. I mean, you don't have to worry about the levels. Well, just those in post. I'm giving you 3.5 stars. Not bad. Not bad. Over to Pam, is it now next? Pam by number. Pamela Ribbon.
Like, who's line? Yeah.
Yeah. What number do you want?
Number 5, please.
Number 5. A very good choice. Number 5. Pam, you get to pick a duet partner for this one.
Can I pick Dave?
Oh my God. I don't know the songs for this, but I can't deny you. And then you have to pick somebody else for Sha-la-la-la at the end.
I would like Tara and Sarah to sha-la-la-la at the end.
I will sha-la-la-la for you anytime, anywhere.
Are you going to sing?
What?
Which are you?
I'm singing the lady.
Which part are you? You're singing the lady. Okay.
Because the man's the first one. So you got to do the man.
Right. Dave does always play ladies in video games, too.
There we
go. That's fine. I'm not gender's a construct.
I like, yeah. All right. It's Family Taz. Family Taz.
We've been together for a million years.
And I bet we'll be together for a thousand more.
It's gorgeous.
Oh, it's like I started breathing on the night we kissed. And I can't remember
what we ever did before.
What would we do, baby, without us?
There's no Sarah anymore.
Without us. And there ain't no nothing we can't love each other through. We do, baby, without us. Sha-la-la.
I'm giving myself 4 stars and giving Pammy 4.5 stars for that performance. Touching, brilliant. A song for the ages.
Truly.
Sarah D. Bunting, what's your choice by number, please?
Oh, lucky number 7.
Lucky number 7.
Good one.
I'm empty, Tara. I need more drink.
Wow.
More. I actually also need more booze. Can we?
Dave's drinking too much. Yes.
More libations. Yeah.
That is true.
It means booze.
It needs more booze.
Oh my God.
Tara. Oh, I don't know about your day.
Deep purple. You want to come in? Deep
My husband's like, how's it going up there? Why are you singing? I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Deep.
Deep purple.
Deep purple song. Deep purple song.
Okay. Mm-hmm, I don't know how I followed.
Guitar Hero. Deep purple song. Deep purple song. Figure out
radar
the buttons
love,
on the guitar. Get maximum points for deep purple. What was the choice?
Number seven.
Number seven.
Oh, yeah, right. Number seven. All right.
I should have gotten a snack.
Previously on Game Time. Sarah picked number seven. Welcome back, Carter. Sarah Carter.
Welcome back, President
the
Jimmy
administration.
Carter.
The entire Carter
peanuts.
Administration.
Welcome back, Carter. Sarah, you get to pick one person. Each time you sing the words welcome back, they have to do a Vinnie Barbarino what? Who? Thing every time you say welcome back. Who do you want to do that?
I don't feel that it's fair to deprive anyone of that experience, so I'd like the entire panel, including you, right, to chime in with the Barbaronics.
All right, so the Barbaronic,
the Barbtones.
Nobody help him. Nobody help him.
Have to be done by everybody. I have to talk to my lawyer because we didn't think about this at the start. Like, what? We're like, we got to make sure that the Barbaronics are contained. But they're everywhere. Wild Barbaronics. Here we go. Are you ready, Sarah?
Sure.
Are you?
No. Let's do it anyway.
Are you ready, Sarah?
Welcome back, Carter. Sarah D. Bunting, you have chosen welcome back. Cotter. Cotter. Host of the 2022 World Cup, Cotter.
Wow. Okay.
Even when he's drunk, he still got it.
Knows about still football. Okay. All right.
Uh-oh, everybody. Okay.
Jeez. Wow. Oh my gosh.
Fuck.
Dave.
Okay.
Yeah, 18 questions.
Oh, wow. Potatoes.
Dave's got a nap coming soup soon, mm-hmm, y'all.
Here we go.
Banana bag.
Welcome back, Carter. Everybody else on the expletives. No, the interrogatives. Here sure. We go.
Also the expletives.
Welcome back.
Where?
What? Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back.
What?
Wait, who?
The same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around. But those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya? Back here where we need ya. Yeah, we tease him a lot, cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Where?
Welcome back, welcome back.
Where?
Back. Welcome back, welcome back. Shut up, Dave.
Where?
That was beautiful, Sarah.
Oh, thank you. Really I could nice. Hardly hear the backing track, so I felt like I was at it.
Well done, Sarah. I have to admit that I was out of sync with what was supposed to be said. I was one off, and I couldn't get myself back into sync because this is just the secret. I'm drunk. So I give myself 1 star for that poor performance, but I give Sarah D. Bunting 3.5 stars. I thought she could have been louder. I thought that the volume in the je ne sais quoi could have been more. Right. I really want to hear like some belts.
I don't think you're a reliable judge right now.
I am the judge! Although, I'm the judge.
Sarah, I tried.
I know you did.
Who's next?
I'm gonna be tried for the rest
Tara.
Of the night.
I know
me.
You are. I'm so sorry.
Me.
Was that, next. Was that our, you were first, right?
Yes.
Okay, good news, guys. I haven't announced it yet, but it's time for a switchover. Switch over, switch over, switch over, switch over. Okay, now. We're going to do something a little bit different for the next two songs before we turn back to our songbook. Okay. I'm going to play you a theme, and you have no choice onto the theme.
Oh.
This theme contains narration. And when the narration ends, you have to continue the narration with your own whatever. Extend the story.
Okay.
Explain the characters.
Yeah.
Deep dive into the show mythos.
Okay.
Oh, but it's not like all of a sudden the rest of the lyrics, we're going to be like abstracting.
I want to point out you're not singing it. You're narrating stuff. So it'll make sense when I tell you the kind of shows that you're doing. But you are not singing. You are not creating lyrics. You are extending the narration inside of the theme song.
Gotcha.
Look, if someone's going to be convicted of a crime they didn't commit, can I get that one? Because I got that one.
Are we supposed to be doing them in the order of the game?
Yeah, well, I'll, sure.
Okay, then I'm not next.
So Tara is first.
Yeah.
And Tara, your theme is Buck Rogers in the 25th century.
Oh,
but you get to listen to it first, which we'll do offline as we have been doing all this time. Secret. Here you go, Tara. Here it is. But you know the premise, right? It's Buck Rogers and he was frozen. But now he's thawed and he's back.
Oh my God.
I didn't know that.
Good, just play it.
Tara, are you ready to continue the narration to Buck Rogers in the 25th century?
Absolutely not.
I'm going to let you know that after the narration ends, you got about 40 seconds to fill. So let me just tell you a few things that you might want to know about the show. Erin Gray's in it.
Yep.
She's always in a LeMay jumpsuit and is very tight.
Yep.
And then one episode that she was bitten or something by a space vampire, it was very sexy. Beyond that, they have lasers and stuff like that. Here we go.
Does any of this come up in the narration?
No, but I'm just giving you some
points. Okay.
Does anyone understand what we're supposed to do in this round?
Yes.
Please put it in the chat.
Off, and then we have to free ball it for the rest of the game.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
We're going to get scored.
I just wish it was a head-to-head with Dave compared to us.
I don't think anyone wins there. But
I tell you what. You listen. Whoever does the best in the narration part of the game at the end of it gets to pick one, and then I'll do it as well.
Okay.
Just because I want to get Pam what she wants. Here we go, Buck Rogers in the 25th.
The year is 1987, and NASA launches the last of America's deep space probes. In a freak mishap, Ranger 3 and its pilot, Captain William Buck Rogers, are blown out of their trajectory into an orbit which freezes his life support systems and returns Buck Rogers to Earth 500 years later.
Oh, I have to guess what the rest of it is?
You gotta narrate. You gotta continue to narrate.
It's going back to Earth. Ooh, he's gonna have a tough time. He has to find new civilizations, but he has no idea what Earth is like now because he's been frozen.
I don't understand.
Buck Rogers!
Alan Thicke makes it look so easy.
10 more seconds.
Space lasers, Erin Gray, Gold LeMay. Fuck my drag.
All right, well.
I thought we got to hear what we were supposed to be, like, I thought we were supposed to be reproducing what we were hearing.
No.
Yeah,
we just had to guess.
You're continuing the narration.
Is the fucking Calvin Ball of game time.
One star for Tara for not understanding the instructions, which I delivered.
You delivered them beautifully. You're right.
I mean, you delivered them beautifully. There were just no verbs in there.
Next up is...
Just remember that later when you were like, make me some toast, my head hurts.
Next up is who? What's the order again?
Pam. Pamela Ribbon.
All right, Pam Ribbon. Pamela Ribbon. Pammy Ribbon. Mm-hmm. Your first continued narration is for the 70s, early 80s. I think series Charlie's Angels.
Cool.
So it's Charlie's Angels.
I feel good about your chances.
They got a dude who pulled him out of the police academy. His name is Charlie, and he wants to work for him.
He's a perv.
Probably.
Pamela Ribbon, you will be extending the theme narration to Charlie's Angels. You got about 35 seconds to fill after he tells them who his name is. Here we go. Good luck, Pam.
Once upon a time, there were three little girls who went to the police academy. And they were each assigned very hazardous duties. But I took them away from all that, and now they work for me. My name is Charlie.
I'm mostly played by a box. That's some good television there when you stare at me. These days, if we were making a modern reboot, I'd be played by a woman, but probably still a box you couldn't see. I'm Charlie. Charles, Charlie, rescuing little girls from the police academy. MacGruber. Fun fact, last name MacGruber. Yes, I did inspire an SNL spinoff and film later, but we won't go into that now. Now, pretty ladies with good hair and tight pants. That's what you're here for. Me too. Me too, everyone. Dave, I think you're doing a fine job. Who wouldn't want to listen to you? Goodbye.
To listen to what? What's the end of that? I need closure.
I'm increasingly more British. I'm into
it. Charlie, where's Bridgerton?
Yeah, what is this? Bridgerton crossover? Is this a crossover episode?
Also made by Shonda Rhimes.
You filled the space. Like, you had something to say through every second of that, and I was pretty impressed. Although, you went British for some reason. That was kind of weird, so I'm going to dock you a little bit for that. I'm going to give you 3¾ stars. Our first quarter point of the
game.
Thank you. Thank you, Game Master. Okay.
We are doing quarters now.
Duda. Duda.
Oh, boy. Win.
All right, win. Sarah D. Bunting, are you ready for your first narrate-y?
Who jacket-y?
You ever had a longer game time?
Sure.
All right. I'll let you know. I'm going to play it for you. Of course, we'll be doing the A-team. You got a whole minute to fill. So I suggest that you think about it for a couple of moments before I play. How are you going to break up that?
I'm good.
You're good.
Boy's bullshitter.
All right.
Let's
go. What I want to hear. I like the confidence. You're already like, you're at 5 stars. You can only go down, but you got 5 stars right now. Here we go. Sarah D. Bunting, wait, you haven't chosen anything. I am determining that you will extend the narration to the the theme song of A-Team. Here we go. Good luck.
Thank you.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
I believe this is where my narration begins. The part of the narration where we question the central premises of the show. Including, how underground are they, really, when one of the team members is B.A. Baracus, played by Mr. T, who is wearing most of the gold in Fort Knox, and is not underground at all. They're filming in Southern California. It's very sunny there. There's a lot of glinting. Also, Howlin' Mad Murdoch. He's howling. He's mad. He's a Murdoch? How on earth is anybody going to stay underground under these circumstances? And yet, despite these facts, which I have just mentioned to you, in spite of Dave's distracting dancing, and the fact that, for a military show where tanks are turned over multiple times in an episode, nobody ever dies, it's really interesting that they never managed to get caught by anyone. I've also completely lost control of which person I'm in. Am I done yet, Dave? Anytime. You want to give me how many seconds left? Help me. Help. Help.
Wow, I love that performance right up until about the last 10 seconds where you were just asking me when it ends. Obviously, it had an end at that point. So I can give you 5 stars up until the 10th. Wait! I'm not done with my judgment. Okay. Don't yay until you hear the rest of it, because you might be disappointed. Why is Pammy wearing so many glasses? She's got like six glasses on. She's like a spider.
It's one for each of you.
Spider lady. Spider-Man. Oh, wait, that's one of the songs. Never mind. I'm not going to give you any hints. Okay.
Her points, Dave. Her points.
Points! 5 stars up until the last 10 seconds. And then I'm going to dock her 1 star for flailing at the end, but still pretty good. 4 stars for narration continuation of the A-team.
Ooh.
I'll give 4 stars is 80%, rhyming, which still gets you an A. So you're still part of the A-team. A-team!
Dave. Should I dial 9 and 1?
Who's next, please? Tara.
Tara.
Tara, you will be continuing the narration to our canon failure song, The Incredible Hulk. Now, the difficulty, and good luck to me for figuring this one out, is that the narration dips in and out, in and out, in and out.
Got it.
So you're going to have to do some narration, listen to the real narration, and then get into the... What happens? Are you up to the task, or do you want to forfeit?
No, let's hear it.
Okay. Tara will now be extending... Tara will now be extending their narration to The Incredible Hulk. Let's get ready to rumble.
Dr. David Banner, physician, scientist, searching for a way to tap into the hidden strengths that all humans have. Then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation alters his body chemistry. And now when David Banner grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like if you had super strength every time you got irritated? I have!
The creature is driven by rage and pursued by an investigative reporter.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Ooh, is this show part of the fake news seeding that makes people distrust the media? Discuss!
The creature is wanted for a murder he didn't commit. David Banner is believed to be dead. And he must let the world think that he is dead until he can find a way to control the raging spirit that dwells within him.
But will he? Or will he just keep turning green and shredding pants?
0 stars for putting politics into it. 0 stars!
We're not a political podcast.
We just want to talk about television, otherwise known as the contraction TV.
The story of David Cole, the incredible drunk.
Extra point for Pam. Good pun. Good pun, Pam. Pump Pam, pick up a point. Okay. Who's next?
Pam.
It's pun Pam.
Pump Pam.
My favorite part is you have now turned into the show conductor. And I don't know what that means. Mostly we're just looking at your armpit, waiting for you to say, speak.
He does have conductor hair, it's true.
Yeah,
he
does. It's fully, I feel
Leopold.
Like we're philharmonic here.
Pamela Ritter, I'm here to let you know that you that you must continue. You must continue the narration in the theme to the $6 million man. Pop quiz for an extra point. This is open to everybody. How much is this man worth?
$6 million?
No! Invaluable. Every human life matters.
Oh, my God.
Look how the other two didn't take the bait, Dave. They just said
minus 1 point to Pam. All the points that she gained before for bonusing, she now debonused.
Sorry,
ever since being asked if A-Rod was the Babe Ruth of baseball, I don't touch these.
I'm sweating so much. The continuation of the $6 million of the $6 million man, not adjusted for inflation. Are you ready, Pam?
Sure, Dave.
Okay, here we go. Good luck. Please.
Steve Austin, astronaut, a man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. Steve Austin will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster.
Are you someone who's watching this television show now who might become a middle management person someday? memorize everything I said before this moment. You'll need it at birthday parties, awkward beginnings, when someone drops your favorite coffee mug. You'll need it to be a dad. You'll need it for first dates. This is crucial advice. Please do not avoid it. Please do not ignore it. The future of your social life is in your hands. Bigger, faster, stronger. Hell, I don't know. I'm lonely. I'm just telling you from what I know from the other side. I was worth $6 million once. Divorce.
4.5 stars for Pam. Man,
that's
she
it?
Filled that time. And I learned a little something about middle management, which is try to avoid it. Sounds boring.
Gordon.
Michael Scott.
Hey, bud.
Michael Scott.
All right. So our last, is this the last one? Yes. Sarah D. Bunting.
Yes, sir.
You have our last continued narration question of this game time. You want to guess what it is? It's a show that has narration that you must continue, and I chose it for you. You chose it for me.
I feel like this is going to be you.
Hey,
let
you.
Her answer.
Hey, you. It's Knight Rider.
I knew that, and I was gonna answer Knight Rider, but you're in no shape to appreciate this callback.
5 points. Okay, remember this. For invoking the Menon, which we haven't heard for a while because nothing's applied yet. No matter what she does, even if I forget that I've awarded her 5 points at this point in time, she gets 5 points. Are you clear on that, Tara? Score best.
So I should know where to go, but up. 5 points on right now?
Well, we'll see. But as far as I am, I think what I just said is yes. Here we go.
And then I have to do the... And then I have to do the voice.
Wait. You have to do the voice.
You're not even doing the voice.
5 points. Sarah D. Bunting, here is yours. Please continue the narration in two parts to Knight Rider.
Shadowy flight into the dangerous world of a man who does not exist.
This guy's narration. Car's voice. Have you ever seen them together? Coincidence? I don't think so.
Michael Knight, a young loner on a crusade to champion the cause of the innocent, the helpless, the powerless, in a world of criminals who operate above the law.
Where is this pink desert in which the credits take place? Where is the members-only product placement credit in the credits? Why are David Hasselhoff's legs 78% of his total body height? Did he have something in his contract that required him to sing in one quarter of episodes in any given season after season two? And here's some footage of Trans Ams provided by Pontiac. Enjoy them.
Wow! Stalled just a tiny bit at the end, but I remember a promise I made to you, Sarah D. Bunting, that you would get 5 stars. And I did mention it was a hard one, so guess what?
5 stars times 2.
Wow.
10 Whoa. Stars for one song. Holy.
That's actually 22. Did you know that?
Shit. All right, we're back to the. Remember when we were doing the singing the songs? Well, we're back to it now.
This is still happening. Yeah. Okay.
Here we go. Cool. First person to get to choose next is who? Tara is this?
Yeah.
Okay. By number.
This should be the last round.
No! By number, what do you want?
8.
I can feel myself sobering up as we talk.
No.
Number 8. No, that's,
you know. Just I would like nappy. To believe that.
Okay, here we go. Tara, Ariana, you have picked. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Tara, you get to pick who gets to play mom in this.
I choose Sarah D. Bunting.
All right, Sarah D. Bunting, your mom. I hope you know when to come in. Here we go. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute to sit right there and tell you how I became prince of a town called Bel-Air. In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing all cool and all, shooting bouncy ball outside of the school when a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared and said,
"You're moving in with auntie and uncle in Bel-Air."
Yeah, but when it got near, they pressing it at dice in the mirror. If anything, I could say that the cab was rare, but I thought, forget it. You're home to Bel-Air. I pulled up to the house around 7 or 8 and I yelled to the cabbie, "You're home, smell you later." I was finally there, sitting on my throne as the Prince of Bel-Air.
That is 5 stars from this guy.
What a performance.
It's
impressive. That is a longer theme than we are used to. It seems like it should be shorter.
3 mimosas deep.
3 mimosas deep.
That is a pro.
What can't she do?
Starring Samuel L. Jackson and a shark you don't want to mess with.
Tara.
What?
It's like 6 deep shark time.
Deep blue sea? Yeah.
Gotcha,
deep blue sea? Okay. There's not a number in it.
It's not. Okay. How many points?
Hang on. Let me get. First, I want to say that Sarah nailed the mom. I'm giving her an extra star
but thank
for her
you
performance
very much.
There before the end review. I was so impressed by
Peace it. And proud to
Tara, you really did well with those lyrics. So I am giving you 4.5 stars for that performance. Well All done.
Right. Great.
Amazing.
Who's next, please?
Okay.
It's me. It's me, sir.
Pam.
It's me. I'm 23.
Bam, you have picked number 23, Three's Company. Mm-hmm. You will play the first voice, which is the male voice. Tara and Sarah will accompany you as the female backup.
Perfect.
And I hope you have a fabulous rendezvous as we play Three's Company.
Knock on our door.
Knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We'll be waiting for you.
And the kisses are hers and hers and his.
Three's Company too.
Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Take a step and it's new.
Take a step and it's new.
We will love on our face and read your face. Three's Company too. You'll see that light.
Something and something and something and something and who?
Zaba da ba di doo.
And a rendezvous.
Three's Company too.
Extended dance remix. And I'm getting some chips, cause I'm a home alone, I'm a latchkey kid. Three's Company too.
Yay! Everybody gets 5 stars. Well, Pam gets 5 stars. And then we'll figure out, you know, like we'll just put that really good performance by Sarah and Tara and we'll figure that out at the end.
Okay.
Wow. Wonderful.
That is such good a job, everybody. Kids show, Pam. It
totally.
Was on every day after
I shouldn't
school
be
for
watching
sure.
That. Yeah, I ate a giant container of Charles chips with a whole milk, a vitamin D,
and eating secret cereal after school, which I was.
Oh, God.
Pam's our third contestant, correct?
No.
I mean, is Sarah the third?
You mean in the
no,
round?
I am.
Me, Pam, then Sarah.
Sarah is, okay, so She'll Sarah D. Bunting.
Sarah is closing out the
round. Oh, exciting time to close out the round. What are you going to pick? My number.
Well, in the hopes that this
you
is
know
the
you
end
gotta
of
do
the line for us all.
Please. Please let it be.
Number 15.
Yeah!
Number 15! Sarah D. Bunting, you have chosen Different Strokes. Here are my instructions as written. Sarah, if not singing, she says Different Strokes in the style in which she's known. But she's not singing. So that means Sarah and Tara have to say Different Strokes in the Sarah D. Bunting style. Which
is?
Tara, can you demonstrate to Pam what the Different Strokes style is?
Different Strokes.
As deadpan and non-emotional, as Vulcan as you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whenever the words Different Strokes come out.
No, that's the style that you have to. We have to do
no,
it.
No, I know.
Different yeah. Strokes.
We have to do it, but he did yes. call me Sarah when he
oh,
said you and I would
you're
have
Pam.
To do it.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure.
You're Sarah scary. Will pause and will not sing Different Strokes. Mm-hmm. Tara and Pam will say Different Strokes in that style.
A lot of mustard on
gotcha.
Pam's
name.
Pam.
Got it. We know you know her name.
All right. Guess what, guys? I'm going to come in on the Different Strokes
hey.
Too. I want to be part
so
of the
So I never say Different Strokes ever in the song.
I mean, you can.
You never. No.
It's your life.
Sarah must not. We, in celebration of Sarah D. Bunting, are being Sarah D.
We're
Bunting.
We're doing a tribute Tari to Sarah. Anna,
today you all are right. Sarah D. Bunting.
Got it.
Pamela Rubin, today you are Sarah D. Bunting. David D. Cole, today you are Sarah Cooper Bunting. Here we go with Different Strokes.
Okay.
Now the world don't move.
To the beat, just watch drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some. A man is born, he's a man of beans and beige. And along come two, they got nothing but the jeans.
Different strokes. Different strokes.
It takes
different strokes
to move the world. Everybody's got a special kind of story. Did I forget there was a bridge? Yes, I did. This is me giving up. But together we'll be fine. It takes
different strokes
to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes
different strokes
to move the world. Oh, God, I don't know how to sing.
Woo! I award 10,000 points to everybody to Different Strokes, and I award Sarah D. Bunting 3.5 points. She kind of blew it at the end. She bipped it in the middle, too. But it was pretty good. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Down. Big mistake for the coyote.
All right. Guess what, guys? We're now going into a different zone.
No, we have to stop.
No!
We've been doing this for 2.5 hours. After we have to stop.
Then we're editing it down. Come on, I prepared for this. Let's do it.
People,
let's just do this bit.
People paid for this.
People pay.
Not
people
enough.
Make good money. Patreon people want maximum face. Value for their dollar.
Do they have nothing but their jeans or nothing but their dreams?
Nothing but their dreams, I think.
Jeans? Is it jeans?
Excuse me, what is just happening?
We will end this game with two more questions for everybody.
But
I'll chunk it.
All right.
The
fine.
First
jeans,
part like, will be something jeans. Different, and the second part will return to last three selections by each of you.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Is that okay, Tara? Mrs. No Fun?
Yes. All right. I'll order a pizza.
Okay.
All right, pizza for everybody. If you're listening, dial in, dial 888-EHG and order your pizza.
Okay. Yeah.
a big one that doesn't fit through the front door.
Okay. All right. Let's go.
We're back.
Tara, stop being,
my favorite
stop,
Dave.
Being, stop rushing me. If you rush me, I'll fluster and I'll bluster and I'll blow your house down. Okay, here we go. For the. special thing before we do our last three songs. Mm. I am going to play you each, and you have no choice in it, a theme that is totally instrumental, and I want you to create all the lyrics for it as the theme plays. Okay. Understood?
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, you may remember Tara famously does Mad Men. Tara, you're not going to get Mad Men.
Right.
But that's the idea.
Okay.
Sarah D. Bunting, your song is Magnum P.I. You've got 57 seconds to fill. But I just thought of this, and at any point in time, you may say, Dave, take it away, and I will give you 15 seconds of Dave time. So for 15 seconds after you say, Dave, take it away, I will do some stuff for you. Wonderful. So you can recuperate, regroup, and get ready for your part again.
Christmas is real.
Sarah D. Bunting, are you ready? Magna P.I.
I'm really not, but let's do this.
Magna P.I. is about a private investigator in Hawaii played by Tom Selleck. He has a really good mustache. Here we go.
Here's the mustache song. Here's the mustache song. Here's the mustache song. I can't sing at the same time and hear the backing track, but there are shorts and a speedboat. Dave, take it away.
Here comes the red Ferrari, and now he's looking at a lady's ass. Well, on the ocean, so plump, and it's biting. Will he tap it? We're gonna find out. Never stereotype back with you.
Okay, so now he's the police commissioner, and I don't even know if I'm seeing the right thing, but he's the police commissioner of New York and lives in my neighborhood and allegedly is bisexual, but I never heard that yet. I'm done.
Oh, you got 50 seconds.
No, I'm done.
Continue the song. Everybody help her out.
I quit.
I would like some Spenwood-tabi. I would like it to right now.
Oh, God, that's over. I'm sorry to disappoint.
I'm taking Sarah's 5 points, giving one to Sarah. And, I mean, one to Tara. So Sarah gets 5 points. Tara helped out there.
What?
So, great job.
What?
What is that math? Okay. That's that new math.
Tara knows the Dave math.
Sarah gets four. Tara gets one of those points because Tara came in and helped out when I said everybody.
Don't worry about it. Yeah,
don't worry about it. Tara, guess what? You got Beverly Hills 90210. It is a 1 minute and 30 second theme song. Oh,
wow. I'm just going to go ahead and say I don't need to hear what it sounds like.
Woo. Very good. All right. I'm going to give you a multiplier of 0.1%. So whatever stars I give you, you're going to get 0.1 more.
Okay.
Because I am impressed by your initiative. Roll for initiative, Dungeons and Dragons. Here we go. Star, are you ready?
Yep.
All right, remember, you got your 15 seconds if you need it, but I don't think you do because you love this show. Here we go, Beverly Hills. 90210, that's the postal code.
Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills. Numbers. Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills. 90210. Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills.
Are we going to get into any like show specifics, or are you just going to keep on saying Beverly Hills?
Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills. I lost track of the.
That's okay. Continue.
Get out of the way, Dave.
Beverly. Beverly Hills. Beverly.
I'm going to stop you there. Zero stars.
Oh, my
no
God.
No context.
Are you joking?
Okay, one. Here's me. Okay, name. Okay, wait.
17
name
stars
any
from
theme
Dodo.
In music history. Go. Do it. Anybody. Go.
What is the show turn. Up round?
No,
he
go,
wants
go.
To show up. He's doing push-ups
it's
in the parking lot.
I want to hear a theme.
Come at me, bro. You want to go?
I want to hear a theme.
Beverly Hill Billies.
Here, Beverly. I don't know the theme.
Do your theme to that one, then.
Beverly Hillbillies. Beverly Hillbillies. Beverly Hillbillies. That's
oh, you're
using
doing
in that
impression.
Song. Zero stars.
I don't care.
I want to hear character names.
I'm way behind. I'm never going
to
win this game anyway.
I
want
to hear Nat giving free food. You run a podcast all about that song. Very disappointed. Changing my scores. Negative 5 points. Take 5 points off your current score. Pamela Ribbon, you will be introducing lyrics to a song that we are very familiar with. It is Mad Men. Now, Tara is famous for her Mad Men lyrics that have taken the world by storm, but you must come up with alternate lyrics to the theme to Mad Men as our dogs go bazoo.
Okay.
You will have to sing with dogs barking. This I decree. That's... Here we go. Mad Men.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. You know it. Hemi G in the house. And here is a theme. I'm appetizing and I'm supersizing. I'm running around without much compromise. And I'm loving ladies, looking forward to the 80s. Have a Coke and a smile, and don't you wish I was crazy? I'm a madman, I'm a lunatic. I'm in your house just to make you flick another TV show that's on your set. I'm the perfect jet setter man. Yeah, you know that it is a madman, and I'm in advertising biz.
20 stars for Bad Ribbon for Mad Men. All right, we're almost at the end of our game. Everybody's got one last karaoke selection to go.
Oh, no.
No, it's one more. Don't worry about it. You're going to nail it, guys. It's your last chance for big points. As you may have noticed, I'm getting more and more generous as we go along because, secret, I'm drunk. Who is first? Is it Tara?
I guess it's back to me.
Yes. By number, what do you want to pick?
21.
Tara, are you ready?
Yes.
One day at a time, as backed by Pam and Sarah. Here we go. Gordon, quiet, you.
Nope. Come on in, Gordon.
This is it. This is life, the one you get. So go and have a ball. This is it.
This is it.
Straight ahead and rest assured, you can't be sure at all. So while you're here, enjoy the view. Keep on doing what you do. One day at a time.
One day at a time.
So up on your feet.
Up on your feet.
Somewhere there's music playing. Don't you worry none. Just take it like it comes. One day at a time.
One day at a time.
One day at a time. One day at a time.
One day at a time.
One day at a time. One day at a time.
One dog at a time.
I'm not sure how this editing is going to go, but I'm awarding Gordon Lightfoot, a new contestant, with 1.5 points for his very well-timed bark. Collectively, 100 points for everybody, divided equally between contestants and me.
What?
Yeah, I got points now, apparently. Okay. 33 and one-third points for you guys, and I'll take zero because I'll give you guys my points. Who's next?
Pam,
what's your final karaoke songbook selection?
Number four.
Excellent choice. So you can participate as early as you want, but 19 seconds when I need to hear you, because we are listening and singing to Charles in Charge. Here we go.
In the neighborhood, he lives downstairs and it's understood. He's there to take good care of me, like he's one of the family. Charles in charge of our days and our nights. Charles in charge of our wrongs and our rights. And I see, I want Charles in charge of me.
Charles in charge of our days and our nights. Charles in charge of our wrongs and our rights.
And I'll see.
I want Charles in charge
of me.
Yay.
Wow,
what a song. I give in Pam 4 and 5 points, 4 and 1, which means 5. And everybody else, fantastic on backing. Let's hear our final selection. Sarah DeBunding, what's it going to be?
I must admit that I've lost track of what we've already chosen. So looking at the remaining selections, I think I will go with, since we don't have an Adam Grossworth equalizer challenge in this particular Patreon episode, I will go with number 16.
Yay.
All right, number 16.
Good luck, everybody.
It's the Bubba Show!
It's time to play the music. It's time to light the lights. It's time to meet the Muppets on the Bubba Show tonight. It's time to put on makeup. It's time to dress up right. It's time to raise the curtain on the Muppet Show tonight.
Why do we always come here?
I guess we'll never know.
It's like a kind of torture to have to watch the show.
Let's get things started. Why don't you get things started?
Why don't get things started?
The most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, Muppetational. This is what we call the Muppet Show.
Hey! 5 points for everybody involved. 5 points for Adam Grossworth. Tara Ariana, we are at the end of our regulation game time, can I please hear them scores?
Yes. Ow. I did not add everything.
Let's just ballpark it.
Okay. Sarah has 35 points. Woo! Plus 35 and one-third points.
Uh-huh.
So she is in second place. I am way in last place with 46 and one-third points. Pam is our winner. She's got 78 and 0.25 points.
Oh.
All right. It's time to award the bonus points. You remember backing and everything. Oh. So I'm awarding Sarah D by the points. I'm awarding Tar Area points. And I'm awarding Pam points, which means our final scores are Sarah D Bunting, 1 million stars. Tar Ariana, 1 million stars. Pamela Ribbon, 1 million stars. And Adam Grossworth, 5 stars.
Hey.
Meaning our joint winners today are Pam, Tara, and Sarah.
Woo. We're all winners and losers.
Yay.
Yeah. Sarah.
Have you guessed?
Hooray. Well, guys.
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh.
Wait. I forgot something. We're not quite done yet because I have to ask.
Is this worse than jazz?
Yeah.
All right, let's answer this question. Has this episode been worse than Jazz Tar Ariana?
I mean, let's just end it. I mean, it was fine.
You're no fun. You're no fun, Tara.
Wrap it up.
Sarah D. Bunting.
It's a tie with Jazz.
Oh, boo.
That's the actual correct answer.
Pamela Ribbon, what do you think?
Dave, this episode was like jazz, and I don't know if you can understand why it's so good. Like,
you had to
really look into. I've been studying. It's about the jokes you didn't tell, Dave.
This episode was the best thing ever, I think is the answer. So
this episode was jazz, pure jazz.
My co-host Tara and Sarah are incorrect. Pammy is right. Pam is now the winner of game time. Well, that is it for another episode of Extra Hick Great. We came out for the Bridgerton season before going around the dial with stops at How To with John Wilson, We Are All Zombies, The Weakest Link, and Taskmaster New Zealand. Then Tarp, well, wait, we didn't do that. And then Dave shot out a successful canon argument for the peach toes mushrooming, or it's my notes auto-corrected to chroming. We crown winners and losers of the week, and everybody but really Pam was the winner of this week's TV songbook game time. Then we all agreed that this episode was worse than jazz. Who are we getting? What a terrible idea. Remember,
we're listening.
Wait, I got it. I am David T. Cole, and on behalf of Tar Ariane, who seems really perturbed in a very familiar pattern from our last episode that we did this on,
I want to pull a Buck Rogers and get sent 500 years into the future.
Sarah D. Bunting, who I think is a little bit better than Tara.
Well, we shall do what women do. We shall talk.
And Pamela Ribbon, who's the best?
ZYW. Nope.
Somebody else is finally drunk. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you never again. Right here on Extra Hick Great.
Well, you look like shit, but you sound surprisingly chirpy.
Yay! We're done.
Wow.